time for Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. Brought to you by Rikus Baird. And now, here's your host.
Welcome to Branding Business with Rikus Baird. I'm Ryan Rikus, and today's show topic is focused on rebranding a service organization, specifically an accounting and consulting firm. Today's guest is David Krajanowski, partner at Singer Leweck, a leading regional accounting services firm with offices throughout California. For some background, Rikus Baird had the opportunity of working with David and the firm's 32 partners to evaluate how to position the firm for the future. At the time, the firm was about 50 years old and using the name Singer Leweck, Greenbaum & Goldstein, or in some cases, SLGG. So competing against the big four accounting firms and other regional firms, leadership felt it was the right time to evaluate the firm's brand promise and also the organization's brand name. So with that, I'd like to welcome David. How are you doing today?
Very good, and thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Other service firms might benefit from your point of view of the process and the challenges you went through as the firm evolved. So maybe you can add a little background to that intro that I gave, thoughts on why it was time to reconsider the firm's brand.
Yes, actually, we were coming off of some very, very good years in 2007. It was probably the banner years for service firms. And in anticipation of our 50th anniversary of our firm in 2009, we thought it was a good time to take a really good look at our firm and see what was working, what wasn't working, and where we wanted to go so that we could go ahead and map out a very big anniversary celebration. And thinking a couple years ahead would give us enough chance to come up with any solutions and really back it up with the rollout. Also, we were having some name confusion, as you had mentioned, because we were known as Singer Leweck, Greenbaum & Goldstein, or SLGG, or Singer Leweck. And we were anticipating two of the name partners retiring in the next 2 years. And if we were going to do anything with our branding or our name, we wanted to do it ahead of them retiring, because we thought that would look sort of bad to all of a sudden have two partners retire and then you clip off their name if indeed that's the way we were going to go. Probably lastly, the last reason we really wanted to do it was to create a vision for the firm going forward. Because what better way than to celebrate 50 years and be able to go out to your clientele and your employees with a new vision of where the firm was going from here?
Great. Perfect summary. You're right. Organizations typically find some event in their life cycle that it makes sense to really reconsider their brand, and you had a number of them going on. Well, as we work with a variety of clients and helping them define their value proposition, we find that it's always a challenge to work with a service firm because of the reality involved in that, and specifically as it relates to accounting, in the sense that by law, you all have to do the same thing. You all follow GAAP. So when define your brand promise, it's really not what you do, but how you do it. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the process we went through in order to get you there to really evaluate your brand promise and ultimately how we describe that.
What's really key when you're looking at any type of a service business is when people see your name and see the initials after it, in our case, CPA or Certified Public Accounting Firms, they naturally assume that you are 100% qualified. So the first thing that people like us tend to do is to point out how good our quality is and all the things that people have already accepted and don't want to hear anything about. Because in their mind, you already have hit that minimum level of professionalism just by the fact that you have the initials underneath or alongside of your name. So I think what was really interesting in our process is that we then went out to our clientele. Also, I believe we went out to prospects and we went out to all of our referral sources, and we asked them to tell us their perceptions of who we were and perhaps more importantly, what was really important to them.
It's a critical
component.
Based
on that, then, we were able to come up and more or less come up with, if we could understand that, then we could really generate a message or a promise, I guess, because what is a brand? It's really a promise of what you're going to be or what you should be then we could go ahead and come up with all the collateral messages and so on to come up with that consistent message and perhaps put together something that's really cohesive in a package. And I think that's what the process really did for us. It enabled us to go out there, listen to what people defined us as, hopefully the perception matched our perception of who we were, and then be able to roll it out. And that, in essence, is what created our tagline that we use, the skills you need and the service you expect.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you use that tagline to compete against the Big Four and other regionals?
Yeah, when we came up with that, we considered ourselves, because we consider ourselves a mid-tier firm on a regional basis with really a national pull, because we service clients all across the United States as well into several neighboring countries. And when we looked at ourselves and we said, okay, where are we in our minds an improvement over a smaller firm? And one of the things that we can offer above and beyond a smaller firm is a breadth of services that, by definition, the larger you are, the more you can offer on a menu basis. In other words, the clients don't all have to use it, but they know that it's there. What people normally go to a smaller firm for, or really like about a smaller firm, is the fact that they're dealing with the people in charge. It's a very, very close personal relationship. When we compete against the larger firms, then when you're looking at the skill set, they can match us when it comes to the skill set. And in some cases, they can even offer more, because they can afford to have one partner servicing the whole nation on one particular aspect, which doesn't make it cost effective. But we can, for the most part, offer that breadth of service. And where we feel that we're able to be one up, so to speak, on our national competition is the fact that we can give them the service side that many times they can't get from the larger firms, because you are not working with the A team. At a larger firm, the A team is with the A clients, which usually are the larger companies inside their portfolio. So a middle market company sometimes gets left out of that mix. So that's, in essence, where we sort of, that tagline really summarized it up for us, we feel, very effectively, is the skills that you need, and then we could build off of that to say not only that you need now, but that you may anticipate that you'll need in the future, and then the service that you expect, and be able to provide that one-on-one personal service.
And as you mentioned, we also validated that with your target audience, your clients or prospects. So once again, we built the brand from within based upon your strengths and what you uniquely offer compared to your competition. But then also, through the voice of the customer, found out where they found value, which is a real key component, as you outlined. And then when you have that combination of those two things coming together, now you have a real clear promise that you can deliver over and over again and consistently deliver that. And not only are the partners aligned in, on that same brand promise, but then, of course, all the employees are as well. And then ultimately, even your customers, your clients, who then, you know, I would imagine, are probably your number one source of new business in the sense of referrals, right?
We definitely draw from our existing client base who are very happy, and then we directly ask them for referrals that they can make to us. And also by word of mouth, because if they're happy with our services, they go to their other service providers who in turn want to meet with us, and we're able to build relationships with those people to continue to grow the firm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have grown the firm since we worked together. I guess you're now up to 32 partners. So it was a question of mine then, when you had, I think, 28 partners at the time, if I'm right, remember right. And it was a concern of how do you get alignment around and gain consensus around all those different partners in making decisions like positioning or naming. Or maybe you can just chat about that. I think other listeners who have multiple partners might appreciate your point of view on this.
Yeah, the hardest thing is to get consensus from, at the time, if it was the 28 partners, is you don't. It's impossible to get 28 partners to agree upon anything 100%. So in our firm and in our governance, what we did is we created a committee whose goal was, or charge was to handle this branding project on behalf of the firm. And as you know, you worked with, I believe it was seven of us, inside that branding committee. And mm-hmm. In our firm governance, we've learned a long time ago that we always need to trust our committees. And then it's the committee that will make a recommendation to the general partnership in a succinct report that says, here was the process, here's the pros, here's the cons, here's our decision. And at that stage, usually, it should be a rubber stamp by the rest of the partnership as to which way we're going to go or the decision that we're making. And then based on that, our plan is then to go to the partners and be able to make it personable to them. And the way that we do that is be able to take the branding that we had come up with, both the name change that we've talked about, the logo, and then working out that if this is going to be, for instance, our tagline, how do we back it up? Because it's one thing to come up with words, initials, colors, logos, and it's something else to build the back end of it or the portfolio. Because what the partners want to know at the end of the day is, what's in it for me? How is this going to help me? How is that tagline going to help me? How can you demonstrate to me how to put it in place by collateral material or other items so that it can help me be a better partner to my existing clients and then be able to go out and find new clients and be able to grow my book?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really helpful to hear you explain that. So first, it's form the committee, then trust the committee, and then trust the process, and then trust the results, but everybody then has to live it as well. So you need the systems in place in order to ensure consistency and adoption and buy-in, right?
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, you've got to be able to sell, as we all know in selling, you don't sell the features, you got to sell the benefits, and I think that's what our process did. The feature was, okay, we have a new brand. The question that we had to then, with your help, and be able to work with rest of our partners of, is what's the benefit to me, and show them how to use these tools and what we are going to do and the benefits it would do to them as opposed to just the features.
Let's chat just a little bit about naming. We've alluded to it a couple times here, but there's certainly a trend in professional service firms over the last few years for organizations to change their maybe their legal name to utilizing more of a brand name in how they communicate themselves. So, for example, in law, you have probably the most prominent firm in America, Skadden, Arps, Slate, Meagher, and Flom, which is now rebranded as Skadden, and very effectively. Accounting, you have Deloitte & Touche, which is now just Deloitte. PricewaterhouseCoopers and Librand, clearly they went through a process. First it became Pricewaterhouse, and now it's PwC. Or in advertising, it's Ogilvy & Mather, it's just now Ogilvy. So obviously a trend has occurred in which organizations have just shortened their name down to really what is often the terms used on the street or by their clients or their customers. So you're almost taking the market and utilizing it as de facto of how to evaluate a proper name going forward. And we did the same thing with your organization as we asked your customers, your clients, others, your referral partners, etc., to talk about Singer, Leewack, Greenbaum, and Goldstein. The clear answer came back, well, it's not SLGG, it's not that long name, we just use Singer, Leewack. And so that clearly became the very easy recommendation back to you. But maybe you can speak a little bit about process and how that was perceived internally and how you got it accepted.
Well, it was actually perceived very well, because at the end of the day, when we're asking our clients and our prospects, what do you know us by, and our referral sources, and when they say Singer Leewack, and if I remember correctly, it was a vast percentage, like 60 or 70%. Mm-hmm. And I think after that was SLGG. And believe it or not, Singer, Leewack, Greenbaum, and Goldstein was the least recognized of our names. So it became very obvious we had to go to Singer, Leewack. And because that came up, it allowed us to go to our partners who were not retired yet, but that was Greenbaum and Goldstein, and be able to say, look, we need your help in this in order to successfully roll it out. We want to make the name change. We need you to have buy-in on this. We need you in your last years to be able to go out there and tell people that you are okay with it to help us, because we want acceptance. We want everybody on the street to know that this is a good thing. And we really convinced our retiring partners the reason was good is, and we'd actually talked about this for a few years prior, is that too many professional firms, it's an ego play. I want my name on the front door. And so they put it on, a partner retires, and then you drop one of the names and you add on some more, and then you sort of lose that branding, that consistency, that message that you have. And also, the longer the name is, we learned that as we were trying to get credibility in certain markets, like if we were raising money, capital for our clients nationally and going to these big brokerage houses, the more names you have, they're sort of going, who, how long you've been in business? When you make your name shorter, and we found one or two names seems to be the magical formula based on your research and your help, mm-hmm. was the fact that two names means now that you're becoming an institution. And I think that was the most important thing that we had to do. I think the reason we didn't go to Singer is because there was just too many Singers out there that just we probably would have shortened it too much. So Singer LEWAC seemed to be the perfect blend. And I got to really admire my two retiring partners, because when your name's been on the door for a lot of years, it's got to hurt personally at the end of the day to all of a sudden see it taken out. But that's what happened. That's what happened in the best interest of the firm. And I think that's when all of a sudden, and we really saw the benefits, that when we started to go out to those same communities as Singer LEWAC, 50 years, it's becoming, boy, you guys are an institution. And I think that was the biggest benefit that we had.
Great summary. Yeah, hats off to the guys who set their ego aside and looked out for the best of the firm in the long run. Well, now we have a new name ready to go to market, but of course you need to bring forth a new identity with that as well to reinforce that new name. And so we went through the process of evaluating the different ways you could look at a logo, as well as the color scheme, how the competitors look. Maybe you can take us through, from your point of view, that process as well.
Yeah, the new logo was just with an S and an L, was something that was adapted. And then what we found was very interesting with your help when we were doing all the research is most professional firms, especially in the accounting industry, all was really relying on that blue and the gray, some version of a blue with some version of a gray. And we're figuring, you know, we're just going to fit in like any other firm. And is that really what our identity is? Because we've always held ourselves, again, who we are, being more entrepreneurial, being more progressive in the marketplace. So we just didn't want to fall into it. And you did an excellent job of giving us, if I remember right, there was 7 or 8 different boards of different colors. And I was actually worried going into our committee meeting, because 3 or 4 of the boards were on the blue or the gray. And in showing some of my partners, they were all aligning to that blue and the gray. And I remember huddling with you before that, because we had sort of looked at the green and the gold as our colors, that we'll see how it goes, but I was going to have to sort of guide the firm if they were going to get stuck in that blue-gray when it came time to vote. And I remember that day, I think we were all shocked. We sat in there, we had all the boards, 7 members of the committee, and all of a sudden, one right after the other, it was green and gold, green and gold, green and gold, all the way across the line. And I think you and I were both shocked when the vote came. We closed the vote, these are our colors, and we literally went with it. And just a sidelight on that story, which is interesting how things work out, is I remember when we introduced it to our staff, we had this big meeting, and the staff is all behind it, all of our team members, they're really great, and they're all excited about the new colors, the name, and then they're looking at all this, and all of a sudden somebody stood up and said, you know, what a tribute to your to the partners whose names are coming off of the door. And we were thinking about that, and Greenbaum and Goldstein, and as you and I still joke today, Ryan, that never, ever came up in any of our meetings. But it just goes to show you how sometimes something's working around in the background for whatever reason, and maybe that is what made that vote be unanimous that day, 7-0. But it's still a story we tell to this day to a lot of people, and it sort of brings some fun, some life to our branding, and also shows us for somewhat the compassionate organization we are, and how we took care of our retiring partners, even though you and I both know, at least consciously, it never came up, but I'm sure it was there subconsciously.
It's a great story. We'll chalk it up to serendipity, but you're absolutely right. The easy choice would have been to follow something comfortable, blue and gray, so I was so pleased as well. I remember that day very clearly that you guys, as the leadership group, decided to really step out and started to really differentiate yourself. So, and it sounds like it's been pretty well received internally. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that process of, now that you've got the name, the identity, the positioning, the promise. You got 30 some partners, you got 200 people, you got 6 offices. How do you then communicate the brand promise and how you want people to live that brand promise internally?
Well, like I said, when we rolled it out at that meeting, just the newness, and we made a bit of a production, we had music going, we created some videos, it was the excitement, we had everybody, you know, on the teams, and then what we did is we rolled out not only our tagline, but then came out with our values and some of the other programs, because we did our branding up front a little bit early, it gave us a chance to start to put together all of this collateral material that back up the brand. Like, for instance, firm values. When we rolled out our firm values and our just PRIDE, which stands for proactive, respectful, inspiring, dependable, and ethical, those are words. And what was really great of this process is then we were able to go to our team members and say, tell us what, for instance, proactive means. Because in consulting with other clients of ours, I've always said you have great values, and I ask some of their employees, what does it mean? And they look at you with this blank stare like, I don't know, that's just what it stands for. We actually went to our team members and said, give us 4 or 5 bullet points as to what proactive means. And I believe you helped us get that information in so that we were able to give a card to every single employee that said, this is what the P in PRIDE stands for, proactive, and here's the bullet points that what it means to us and to our clientele that we have to deliver upon. And that was something that was very, very positive. Plus, it made everybody on the team own it because they were all asking for their input. And if people are providing input, it makes it so easy for them to feel involved and then say, yep, now this is part of my deal. I own it and I want to be part of it. And that's all we've been trying to do ever since is continue to build on that, update it, and constantly come out with new material.
Well, David, as managing director, I was so pleased to see you really take hold of this idea of getting those 200 people all aligned around this. And it's such a critical step in any type of brand launch that internal alignment adoption is just critical. Well, we only have a few more minutes left, but maybe I can ask a couple questions here. It's been, what, 3-4 years since the brand rebranding was completed. Maybe you can kind of give me an overview. How well has it served you? Has it stood the test of time? Is it still relevant?
Yes, I think it really has. We're continuing to grow bigger, hopefully better, providing more value to our clients. We're continuing to leverage it the way we want to. We're doing that by looking at, like I said, the tagline and everything you helped us develop and coming up with new thought leadership every year. So as the environment changes, our thought leadership says, how do we incorporate it into our existing brand? Maybe it's the use of newsletters. Maybe it's the use of our Singer Leewack Academy. And we continue to get recognized and acknowledged in the marketplace for just some outstanding. In fact, people literally tell me, you have the best branding, the best marketing materials we've seen out of anybody, even up until this day. So I think it definitely helped us grow.
Excellent. Last question. Having gone through the process that we just talked about, you have any advice that you could give our listeners who are considering going through a similar process?
Yeah, I think start when you don't have to. That's what we really did. We had an event coming up, and I think it was a perfect time to really take a look at our whole organization. So that really made it, it was really just part of the process that came about. It gave us plenty of time to really think it out, do it right, survey the marketplace the way it was supposed to be. Then when we made our decisions, come up with the collateral to back it up. And that would be my recommendation. And then I think it's something you have to periodically look at, maybe not every year, but every 5 or 10 years, just to make sure, is it still holding it up? Have you been bringing up enough backup material to continue support it? Do you need to tweak something? Because at the end of the day, to me, you know, we're in a very complex industry. And one thing I like about our branding and what everybody should do is, how do we make it so simple to our clients, so that they really understand what each and every one of us in the service industry are, who we are, and what we do. That's the bottom line message.
Well, David, thank you for being a guest in Branding Business. Any final thoughts or insights to share with our listeners?
No, I think you've done a great job of asking the questions. I think that's it. And what I tell my clients is, don't just be thinking about it. It's something that you have to proactively do. So that would be my thought, is if it's time to do it, then get started on it. Get involved. It's not something that's done overnight, but you just got to do it.
Perfect. Well, if our listeners have any questions, could they reach you by email? And if so, would you be willing to share your email address?
Sure. My email address is D as in David, so just D and my last name, which is KRAJANOWSKI at Singer, SINGER, LEWAK, LEWAK, one word, .com.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, David. That concludes our show for today. This is Ryan Rikus, and you've been listening to another edition of Branding Business with Rikus Baird. If you'd like to listen to past shows or read our blog series, visit brandingbusiness.com. Please share your comments as we can all benefit from the discussion and varying viewpoints. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. To hear more, simply visit our website, brandingbusiness.com, or tune in next week to learn how you, too, can build your brand and move your business forward. Brought to you by Rikus Baird.